Dai, ho visto para mahabra katada. Sara sisi mar. The divine grace is confounded taga. Esi bhaktivedanta swami tira babubhaki. Jai Om Vishnu Paramahamprakachadya. Asutara Sri Sri Mahi Divine Grace. Sira Bhakti Siddhanta Sriyata Diriko Maharaj ki. Sira Nama Chadya Harihasna Kaur ki. Prem Sahot Sri Krishna Chaitanya Babunita Nanda. Sira Dvaita Gadhaya Sri Vasya Digo Bhakti Vindi ki. Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath. Saima Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki. Vrindavan Dham ki. Mathura Dham ki. Navadvip Dham ki. Jamuna Mai ki. Ganga Mai ki. Tulasi Devi ki. Bhakti Devi ki. Samaveda Bhakti Vindi ki. All glories to the Samir devotee. All glories to the Samir devotee. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru Angad. Pour that water out. Namo Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Sri Madhi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvisesya Sundavari Praskacha Dezatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda See the Dvaita Gurhar Sivasri Go Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry. It's confounded, taught in divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Sri Prabhupada ki. Jai. C.C. Varha Dhammadavara Kalajanji ki. Jai. So, well, the things I want to say right now is a disciple tape, although I have no secrets or I don't believe so much in confidentiality. But it should be known that it is of that nature. Anyone can listen to it. Anyone is welcome to hear what this discussion is. There's some tapes that I single out sometimes as particularly disciple tapes because a certain type of message I want disciples particularly to be clear on. When I first came in contact with Srila Prabhupada in this lifetime. It was first through his voice. And so when I was in New York, as a matter of fact, and I was engaged, I was with my fiance, we were visiting the temple in New York. I just graduated, was in my last year at Princeton. And so she was a yoga instructor. We were both some type of spiritualist. And so we were going to the temple. And we got the Hare Krishna album where Srila Prabhupada is explaining the mantra. It's a George Harrison album. And so she was, I think, cooking or something, and I put the tape on, the album on. And so I hadn't met Prabhupada yet. Maybe some months later I physically met him. But when I heard his voice, then many things happened. And you understand why I'm telling you this in a minute. When I heard his voice, I was very happy, I was very satisfied, I was very pleased. At the same time, I was very frightened, and I was very embarrassed. When I heard the voice, I distinctly knew the personality associated with the voice. Inasmuch as that
I knew that that particular person with that voice had put me under arrest. And so I was happy, inasmuch as most of my life I had been seeking some spiritual connections and constantly aligning myself in some societies, groups, teachers, mentors, paranormal connections, etc. So it was a happiness for somehow finding that connection, but also there was a sadness because that connection meant responsibility, accountability, and it meant death to previous patterns. You are all under arrest. Inasmuch as that we're in the physical body because basically we're deviants. And so the major duty of the spiritual master is somehow to connect with us and try to bring us out of our craziness. To keep putting ourselves in prison, lifetime after lifetime. And so the other day we had initiation. And so that initiation was also a declaration. It was a declaration, and those who've already taken initiation in the past, directly from me or from other spiritual masters, in the Vaishnava line, it's a declaration that you are saying that in this lifetime, I want to get out. And whatever is necessary for me to once and for all be free from this madness, from these worlds of duality, that's basically dominated by people who are envious of God, hate God, and want to interfere with Krishna's plan. Prabhupada explained very emphatically how the material world is no place for a gentleman. It's no place for a serious-minded person who is an agent in the carriers of love. But it's a place for people who want to engage in different permutations of sense gratification. And to that degree, Krishna has created playground that actually produces all kinds of nightmares. Because basically what goes on here is exploitation, manipulation, capitalization, and denial. And every now and then there's a few people who somehow rise above that. But basically that is what goes on in these universes. And so as long as one has that kind of mentality, they fit in very nicely. So now the planet is under unusual seizure. And so it's all kind of craziness within people's bodies, consciousness, within the societies, within the organizations, secularly, spiritually, etc. And one of the reasons is because there are so many cheaters. And the cheaters are in all areas and all walks of life. In all professions, all organizations, all different polarities. And right now it's almost like the cheaters are more dominant than genuine practitioners. And therefore there is chaos on every level on this particular planet. The example was going on with one of the top so-called statesmen in the world, like President Clinton, is exemplary of just how crazy the mature energy is. The example of what is going on in biotechnology is an example of just how crazy people have become with their science. What is going on in cloning, what is going on, the manipulation of foods. The example of how far people have gone in trying to play God. The main activities of big demons is they want to play God, to observe the power of God, push him out the way. Example of what is happening with this massive investment in technology, computerization, and now some chaos because of that, is warning us of the times. No one in this room, no one in this city, no one on this planet is guaranteed any definite years additional in their life. Anyone can leave this body any day, any month. We understand that in general as Vaishnavas. But we don't understand to the degree of how much common people's lives are constantly under threat. Even right while we are here right now, this government is so disturbed about terrorism. They're so frightened about biological and chemical weapons that are being found and people trying to enter them into the country and cause problems. They're frightened about how many cases they've stopped. They're frightened about how many cases that they're not aware of that may have gotten through. The governments are frightened about what's going to happen after the next year or so. The tyrants, who have a lot to do with bringing the confusion, are frightened because it's beyond their means. Like the same thing with AIDS. A lot of the range, calculatedly arranged, but sometimes even the sinful people do things that it becomes out of their control. So it's out of the control of even those who engage in centralization to manipulate and exploit more. It's out of their control. It has a life of its own. It's like bhakti has a life of its own. Bhakti brings more bhakti. An empowered sin brings more and more confusion and chaos. So we should be very clear in our minds that we're actually in war. The people who don't realize that, in most parts, they will become casualties. Because they will get swept up just by the ongoing disturbances, and they will lose it. And they'll just be recycled in other dimensions, other planets. They'll be recycled in other conditions that fits into their mentality, the degree they want to maintain the cheating propensity of running away from the Lord. Maya will get so strong that wherever someone is not genuine, they are going to be exposed again and again and again. Because Maya is moving very fast in doing its work. And therefore, Maya will either devastate or empower the spiritualist. Where there is too much mixed devotional service, cheating propensities, Maya will expose, devastate. Just like someone is having an adversary, they're fighting against the adversary, but they're weak and they're coward. And therefore, they surrender to the adversary and sometimes join the adversary's camp. This happens in warfare. People become overwhelmed, overpowered by another group, another source. And because they're not grounded, they're not real fighters, then what happens is that they give in and they simply become conquered, taken over, used by the adversary. So there are people who profess to be transcendentalists, profess to be Vaishnavas, who have simply become now used by the adversary. People who are professing to be some type of spiritualist, and they're simply just hanging on the sidelines, not knowing what's going on, and simply getting more and more stagnated by their previous patterns. So as you come into the assembly of our particular offering to Srila Prabhupada, should understand the gravity and the sincerity, profundity of what you're doing. mentioned several times when Prabhupada, before he left his body, he was on his way to this particular land. There were hundreds of other places that Prabhupada could have been on his way to. He was on his way to this particular land to connect with these particular deities, to create a paradigm, a model for the rest of the society about his 50% of the work that he did not complete. This is the only Radha Krishna deity in the whole movement that has been used in the mood of like Lord Chaitanya. There's no other installed deities in the temple, major deities, that were taken out, just like Lord Jagannath, taken out to festivals, taken out to universities, taken out, just like the Gaunitai deity. If you analyze Damodar's pastimes, Damodar is young and mischievous. It's a very unusual deity with the Shaktis. Nothing is by accident. Accident means that we have some atheistic consciousness. Accident means that we are not considering that everything ultimately is arranged by Krishna, his Bahiranga Tatasha Antaranga Shakti. And therefore, we're using this time as a time to try to summon each of you to become more focused, so that you don't become a casualty. Everything will speed up and speed up every single week. So you should be ready for it. Externally and internally, you're going to be pushed for more and more love, sincerity, compassion that invokes realization, and ultimately will invoke divine manifestations. If in the next few years, that if some of you do not begin to have divine realizations, connection with divine beings, then you have become seriously wounded and on your way to becoming a casualty. This land, this particular facility, is full of presence of higher beings. And therefore, just like in a holy dham, you get immediate type of results. And if your conscience is open, you have amazing experiences, you feel surcharged, and if not, you leave there feeling completely like a ghost, drained, not knowing your right from your left. We have asked you about keeping four technologies as a daily meditation, as a way that we open up a door and we invite the presences a lot faster. Because on our own, what can we do? But with higher assistance, what can we not do? If I felt that what is to be done for Srila Prabhupada's service was based on myself, based on yourselves, based on the present order of devotees, I would leave this body, commit suicide, do something. But to the degree that I know it's not based on me, it's not based on you, but it's based on Krishna, then in spite of the posturing of the demons, we realize how wonderful this is, an opportunity to make a real serious difference. So everyone is going to have to become much more internal. This last book I wrote, many reasons I wrote this book on prayer, the 10 type of prayers that Vaishnavas engage in. Because somehow from our Judeo-Christian background, we put prayer away and just consider we just chant the Maha Mantra and that's it. Yes, the Maha Mantra is all that's needed, but also we have the 9 processes for devotional service. Why do we have the 9 processes? Because we do not do any one of them deep enough. So we have 9 to safeguard us, to protect us, to engage all of our senses and our minds. As we engage in deep prayer, we're asking for things to happen beyond our own capacity. As we engage in deep prayer, we're asking to literally to be pushed to do the right thing in the right way. We're asking that we do not just be stagnated by our senses, our mind, or intellect. So there's a need for one to become mindful in everything that we do. Mindful when you walk, mindful as you're eating, mindful as you're reading, mindful as you're talking, mindful as you're sleeping. That even as you sleep, that you go and you're taking rest in the spirit of rejuvenating yourself, the physical, and allowing the subtle to travel, to connect, to meet, to learn, and then to be able to act and process that when you're in the jagrat or waking state. While you're in the swapana or susupti, the dream state or deep sleep state, that should be a time when there is more higher association that you now are rejuvenated with as you come back into this realm. We're talking about life and death considerations. So many people on this planet are about to lose their lives by disease, by mental breakdowns, by riots, by tribal wars, by toxic waste, by nuclear spills, by earthquakes, by hurricanes, by starvation. People are not in a consciousness so much of being able to deal with this adi-devic activity. What does it say of adi-atmic, even their own minds? Adi-bhotic. So our position in your homes, this project and other projects where you're connected with this type of transmission that we want to instill within you, that you should see yourself simply waiting to be able to understand better what is to be done. You should see your life in the sense that we said before, whatever you were in the past, whatever you did in the past, it's the past. Because so much of that was based on the past. Was based on many physical things, many institutional things being seemingly strong. And it just is not that way anymore. There is no united nations. There is fragmented nations. There is no international society for Krishna consciousness. There's a federation of temples, federation of leaders who sometimes work together and appear to be an international brigade. That's the external. If that was based on us, we'd be in big trouble. But there is the wonderful touch given by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There is the wonderful touch and blessing that's given by Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and our spiritual masters from there. It is their blessings that can pull us through so many things. Our mind should be, if we have to leave this planet next week, next month, it's okay. Our mind should be, if we have to leave 5 months, 5 years, 15 years, it's okay. 5 minutes, it's okay. But to that degree means we must really have nothing that's so important in this material energy that we want to come back for that stuff. When there's nothing that's that important for us as any priority, there's no reason for one to have to take another one of these physical bodies. So the decision is on each of you and how we use our free will. But you understand, in the mood of your spiritual master, we're not interested in orthodoxy. We're not interested just in religion. We're not interested just in philosophy. Religion and philosophy, a part of culture, is to be experienced, is to be expressed, is to be shared. It's not the international society for conceptualizing or philosophizing or even socialization. It's for developing Krishna consciousness. And that consciousness has to do with how much genuinely one has given their heart to the Lord. And so we ask you constantly that you deep these four things, because we want to create a Sattva Yuga atmosphere in Kali Yuga. You just have to reflect back about what goes on in Sattva Yuga. And you realize that Sattva Yuga is the high, is the peak of what can happen in the mature energy while still being in the mature energy. Even before the time of Lord Buddha, the devas were constantly coming, visiting, manifesting, showing themselves, interacting. But as people become more and more sinful, then higher beings have little desire to associate, no serious reason to manifest, because the people would simply not understand and not be ready to connect with them anyway. So, in the last half an hour, because I don't want to keep you long. We want you to get proper rest. We want you to be ready for the next few days. There's some sort of flu going on, so if your resistance is weak, you may find yourself getting bothered by that. If you have proper sleep, eating proper, and if you're in the proper mentality, less likely that you'll find yourself being affected. As a matter of fact, this is a significant factor. Just as Narayan Rishi is still on this planet, there are certain great beings that are now still on this planet in the Himalayas. They are not affected by so many things that are part of the present day mature civilization. Understand that. That means by conscious alteration, one can be in environments and not be so much a product of what the environment or the atmosphere is. This is what is important at this time in Kali Yuga. This is what is important as we look at these millennium changes. This is what is important as we look at all the confusion that goes on within societies, experimentation, speculation, conjecture. That there's a certain general negative karma acceleration. So the question is, who gets drifted away with that negative karma, or who is able to rise above or transcend that particular pattern? It is not unusual for people right now to fall. It is not unusual at this time for people to get confused who are wearing the Vaishnava garb. It is not unusual at this time for people to be full of doubts, full of fears, full of phobias at this time. That is the current that's sweeping. If one just goes on mechanically, they will be part of that current. Where there's a higher accessing of deeper inner spirituality, then even though that current is there, one will not be swept away by it. So So each person's situation will be based on your use of your own free will. Some of you are already being swept away. What can we do? We can only try to assist you, guide you, warn you. Even Krishna himself, when he descended, he told Arjuna what was to be done, but Arjuna had to do it himself. If you capture the moment of mindfulness, if you capture the conception of how to launch ahead as a spiritual warrior, if you see yourself as like in a battlefield, having to have proper weaponry. We're chanting the war song. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're trying to cleanse ourselves from any wounds, any anathas, any weeds. And we're simultaneously trying to sharpen our weapons to launch ahead. This is a terrible place, but a wonderful place at the same time, because without challenge, there's no victory. There's no duality in the spiritual world. There's no death. There's no old age. There's no disease. There's no fragmentation that this planet is all designed for on so many different levels. So what I'd like to hear from you, because I think some of you begin to realize, I'm not so much into just speaking anymore. Just for the sake of trying to entertain you, so to speak, with philosophy. I'm concerned with how we change our lives and how we come together and discuss how to change our lives even faster. Because sometimes we can get into the mental gymnastics. And at the end of the day, we know so much but understand so little. At the end of the day, we reflect on so much but we do so little. So after we have tomorrow, the next few days while I'm here, I'm just going to tune in to wanting to know and get updates on what have we done. What have we done, considering that we want to look at an environment that if there's no food, orthodox food, normal way for food, no normal way for water, no normal medicine around, no normal security, then what have we put in place? That's the external. The internal, want to know, so how are you different than when I seen you a month ago? If you're not any different, then it means you're just caught up too much in eating and sleeping. Spirituality is constant acceleration. You should be different. Even just from a month ago. And if you're not, you look close at yourself and you ask yourself why. Then you evaluate to see where you are procrastinating. So those four things, that whenever there is a problem, you see yourself first as the source of the problem. Can I help you to have a mindset that is not a part of this material contamination? Not about enemies and friends. Not about holding grudges. Not about scapegoating. Not about seeing yourself outside of servitudeship. So when there's a problem and you see yourself as the major factor for that problem and you start from there. Two, that you treat every single person who you interact with in the spirit that the success or failure of your own life is based on how you treat that person. Three, you consider where you've had some serious kind of love or affection, appreciation, compassion, and you try to extend that to everyone. You take the highest point of your conscience where you felt some love, some concern, and you try to extend that to everybody in your environment. Four, you consider that the people you are associating with and whatever your project, wherever you are, that these are the people you're associating with, and very likely maybe the people you leave your body with. For Vaishnavas, the conscience we leave the body in means everything. So I'd like to hear from you for the next 20 minutes. I'd like to hear from some of you about how you are using these things and how you are having some differences in your life. If you're not having any differences, then tomorrow's celebration is a joke. Because worshiping and glorifying your spiritual master means you're following his instructions. It's not about hero worship. It's not about some sentimentality. It's about empowering yourself so that you can help others. The greatest way I can help Srila Prabhupada is by becoming more a vehicle to be able to do some of his bidding. It's not about how many times I chant Jaya Prabhupada. It's not about how big I build his Vyasa seat. It's not about how many prayers I make externally. It's not about how much money, how many buildings. It has nothing to do with that. It's not even about how many disciples I make. But it's about how much that I have stopped interfering with Krishna's plan. How much I've genuinely given up ego. How much I've given up self-centeredness. How much I've given up identifying with this body, identifying with this material universe. Other things is just for the preparation for developing that level of consciousness. So one day, your existence is going to be so much based on how much you really heard and understood it. Just as we took so much for granted when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet. And now out of 7,000-8,000 devotees he's made, there's only a handful of Prabhupada disciples in major temples all around the world. Except for Alachua, there's only a handful. In most places, don't even have any. What happened to those thousands and thousands of Vaishnavas? Because in most cases, we were thinking too much Prabhupada was his body. And now he has forced us to have to take his word and his message more to heart. Because if we don't, we don't survive. So those who are surviving more are those who've taken that more to heart. And those who don't, then they're simply in confusion and create all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of rumors, all kinds of considerations. And at the end of the day, they do not work on themselves. It's a cheating mentality. Prabhupada gets so preoccupied in so much of the circuitous things and minimize working on yourself. Because if we work on ourselves sufficiently, then that will vibrate into the environment and it will force things on the environment that will clarify and will purify. But as we just work outside, we're thinking the problem is everyone else and not ourselves. We're asking all of us that we take the problem as ourselves and we work from within and we let it come out. This is power. Power has nothing to do between hiding behind things, manipulating things. But it's about what is internally there. That security, that can never be taken away. So I'd like to hear from some of you how you're using some of those things in your life and it's making a difference in your life now. If you haven't been using them, you are simply lazy, you're a cheater, you are stagnant, and you're holding back the chance for your growth and for the chance for us to offer more to Srila Prabhupada in this mission. You think these things are something you write and then put on the wall, forget about. You think that these are just some things that we just share as some type of, New Age socialization or something. Then you should turn back in your name and just not pretend to be a such and such das or dasi. be a godas, just be a servant of your senses. And once you burn out in that, then try to fix yourself in some other situation. Our mind should be that we don't care whether there is nuclear war, chemical war, biological war, or whether there's just more and more economic growth. We don't care any about these things, but we do care that we're away from our home. And we're not going to be happy till once and for all we're able to at least be able to hear the distinct messages and have the perception from our home. That means we're breaking through the three modes of material nature, and spirit Krishna consciousness is no more just a matter of faith for us. People can't go year after year only on faith. We are pleasure seekers by nature. So that faith doesn't turn into deeper realizations, experiences. It doesn't turn into deeper or more protection. Then people will go other places and do other things after a while. And you see that. The people have been chanting to Hare Krishna for 25 years. And they go and do deviant things. Can't keep repressing. Can do that only for so long. So I've talked enough. Now I want to hear you talk. I'd like to hear some of you explain some ways how you're using these things in your life. It will inspire you to make some serious adjustments in your own life. And if you're not using it, then it's best that we stop pretending. Whatever we do, at least be good at it. Be honest, good, powerful, sense gratifier. And don't be a sabotager to the process of devotion. Who would like to start a sharing? Take the speaker there, microphone. That's the juggernaut.
Being here tonight because I did for once since I took initiation follow your instructions, and for the last 2 weeks or so I actually made arrangements to wake up at midnight, get my rounds done, and start reading and preparing to go to work, and go to work in the mood of actually being example of what comes from your lotus feet rather than trying to imitate you. And I can truly say, since that has happened, that tonight it was just Krishna's arrangement and glorious, actually, to your lotus feet, that I'm able to be here tonight. I can't say it was hellish, because actually it woke me up. But as a result of actually chanting my rounds, actually chanting sincerely 20 real rounds, depending on you, and recognizing that I am in darkness, that I had very good results, and I want to thank you so much for that. And I want to say that I'm here tonight because I do need my medicine, and I want to ask you for a new bead bag, and my beads broke, so I need some more beads to chant my rounds. And
we'll talk about some of these things later.
All right.
So these four technologies. Yes.
I work in Carnegie Library, and my desk is an information desk. So every person who comes to my desk, I try to tell them something about Krishna consciousness. And if they respond favorably, I give them one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And I am trying to awaken them to the fact that, just as Srila Krishnapada said, we're in for a really hellish situation come 1/1/2000. And even before that, there's going to be some other hellish things happening. And so far, I've managed to help quite a large group of people. And one of my next door neighbors is a minister, so I'm trying to work with him, work out an arrangement to be in a group to help the community to raise their consciousness for Y2K wise, because most people don't realize just how dangerous Y2K is. And this is what I've been doing out there. But one of the things I wanted to ask you with Krishnapad is whether or not he approved and whether or not he wished me to make any changes.
Let me talk to you more.
For myself, I'm trying to be aware of constant monitorship and not so much in a fearful way, but just to know that the association is available and that Krishna has put everything in his holy name. And every interaction I have, I try to see somehow or another that there's something for me to learn, that Super Soul is there. Even if someone is mean or nasty or whatever, I still try to see that Super Soul is trying to tell me something.
Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Pass it to Kopi.
Hare Krishna. I have to say that one thing that I've been trying to concentrate on, aside from all my shortcomings, which isn't really something that I really have a tendency to work on, but one thing that I do try to do is often I just try to stay focused, that regardless of what problem I am having, as long as you just stay focused on the goal, whatever your goal may be. And for me in the past, I guess a couple of years, I've tried to make it a real point to try to like facilitate other devotees, especially I guess like newer devotees that aren't, you know, so I guess you'd say, well, like socialized. I try to give them make them feel that what they're doing is, you know, that they're actually doing something that's really, really good. And it's
maybe we can take some of the kids downstairs if there's too much noise.
And to make them feel comfortable and to feel proud of what they're doing. They're trying to become devotees. And the thing with that is that, you know, I've seen many people advance much more rapidly that way. It's just when you're there and you let the people know that, hey, there's something going on. This is like, you know, this is a real community, you know, like just a devotee family. This is a real community. These people are always going to be here for you, despite, no matter how crazy we all may be, it's so much crazier out there. And as long as you just, you know, try to stick together, you'll always, Guru Maharaj said, if you just try to apply those four principles, which you don't even have to be mindful of, but if you're just serving others, and always constantly thinking of how you can serve others, then I guess those four things always fall into place to some degree. So I just try to be a facilitator.
Hare Krishna. In terms of the four technologies, and I can remember a few instances that has been of great help to me. In resolving conflict, there have been situations where one of my god brothers didn't understand something that I did, and I went to see him, and basically I started by saying, or by asking him, what did I do? In other words, I just remembered that, and I said, you know, going in the mood of me being at fault, and he explained it, and it turned out that I had to tell him why I did what I did, and it was a very nice and peaceful resolution. It was a sadhata, to be quite exact. It helped a lot. In terms of us being aware that we are together and we could leave our bodies together, what comes to me is that it's like a heart connection now between devotees. And I can't even speak for myself, but I realize more that a lot of my god brothers are more open to me and want to help me more than I've seen in the past. And I was telling my wife, I haven't even taken advantage of it. And there's so many things. I'll help you with this, I'll help you with that, I'll help you with that. You're just telling me, you know, I can help you move your boxes, I this, that, you can use. Just, you know, it's very nice that that's coming, and I think that connection is increasing in that sense. And also on that same point, about that same technology, another realization I've gotten is that no matter how much preparation that we make here for even for self-sufficiency, we have to be aware that Krishna is the ultimate decision maker in everything that happens, so that we can do those things and stay here to propagate Krishna consciousness, or do those things and leave our bodies and have somebody else do the work. That's a realization that's all I've noticed from that. And in terms of cottage industries, my wife and I started, well, she started, I was just assisting, in making soap, herbal soap, and it seems like it's you know, ready to take off. I want the devotees to be aware of the fact that if by Guru Maharaj's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, that it really flourishes. We're hoping to produce 1,000 bars of soap a week. That's our real aim. We got about 500, almost 600 now at home as we speak. In this month, produce that, and next month 1,000, and then go to hopefully 2,000 around May every week. And so there is opportunity for employment. There's an opportunity in this cottage industry. There's an opportunity to become a distributor if you want to. This is natural herbal soap. It's really a wholesale price. And people who want to stock up for Y2K also, please see us, because we're just, I mean, as we make them, they go out the door really quickly. And I have one here to show you. It's called Sweet Orange. That's the way it looks like. We have five of them. The sixth one is being produced now. And we have five different brands of herbal soap.
Thank you.
And we should make sure we keep going. I have to start with soap, obviously.
Okay. Mangalarti, there's a microphone back here. Oh, Chuta, why don't you go first, since you have.
Hi, Bo Srila Krishna Prabhupada. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I had a question. I wanted to share something along the lines of what you were asking us to share, but also a question. This past week, I had an opportunity to preach to some family members about meat eating and also to share some prasadam with them. And it got into a really kind of heavy discussion because they really have hardcore Christians. And one of the sisters I was preaching to, she is a minister. And so I was a little intimidated at first because I felt like I was a little rusty. And I knew she would be kind of hitting heavy. And, you know, I was kind of by myself and no other devotees around. I'm like, oh, gosh, can I handle this? And I just kind of, you know, jumped into the conversation and just shared what I knew was in the Bible about meat eating and just kind of, you know, stuck to the points that I knew. And, of course, she and the other sister that I was talking to kept coming back with points that were, you know, about later, you know, what do you call it, concessions that were made later in the Bible for meat eating. And I kept going back to the original teachings and trying to, you know, preach to them about before the fall of man and the importance of having a clean temple to be able to, you know, receive, you know, the word of God and also to be able to act. And also they kept reading from the Bible, and I pulled out the Bhagavad Gita and we were going back and forth. And it was kind of, it was a good discussion, and it got kind of heated. And then somehow it switched from vegetarianism to about whether or not Jesus Christ was God. And I knew from my understanding of the Bible and from what I've learned more about Christianity through being in Krishna consciousness that Jesus is not God and that he never said he was. But then after I talked with them, I was realizing that if they're seeing Jesus as spiritual master and that the role of the disciple is to see that Guru is as good as God, even though you don't say Guru is God, that maybe they were in a proper consciousness. So I was kind of struggling with that. And then, you know, the next day, one nice thing that happened as a result of the discussion that one of the sisters, the one who was a minister, she called and she was preparing a vegetarian meal for herself. And so I felt like it was good that the conversation had influenced her enough that she, you know, was at least, you know, trying to, you know, change her lifestyle. So I was wondering if you could address that question about discipleship and guru.
Yeah, I'm trying to tune in more to these four principles. But basically, some people can only go on in a strong commitment in their faith if they feel they have the only way, the only thing. And so that fanaticism is there, but at least helps them to be ethical and to be moral. And the fact that the duty of the prophet, apostle, or the acharya is to be servant God, servant representative of the Godhead. So if they genuinely follow Jesus, then they make the connection of what he's offered. He's offered them to come to heaven. But in most cases, they don't genuinely do such, because first they don't know who he really is. They only know a few years of his life, and that they're not ready to explore more, but just to accept the churchianity rather than Christianity. But now I want to hear from you. How have you used these four things in your life as making a difference? You can share some with Mangalarchik, you have? You have the microphone right now. You can share. No. Since you have it, you go ahead.
Gurudev, I was just thinking when you were speaking about the principles that in the office where I try to do my service, I have on the wall the four principles. And I took the sign down because it was getting old, and I had a nice new copy in all these different colors. And I was thinking that I was going to put that copy up and finally try to remember those principles and use them, because I've been so negligent in doing that. So I have this new copy, and I try to put it on this spot under your picture that I had saved on the wall, and the scotch tape wouldn't stick, and I couldn't get a nail in the wall, and I was, like, so frustrated. So I just took it, and I put it in the file cabinet, and for, like, four mornings, I was opening the file cabinet to get something, and I was thinking, like, when am I going to put this up, and when am I going to actually start using this? It's so ridiculous that I'm not using these things. So then I shut the file cabinet Wednesday. That was like 3 days or so that it was up. And then the festival started, and just all this stuff happened, and I didn't get a chance to put it up again. And even though I forget these principles and I don't utilize them properly through, because you've placed me here and taking shelter of so many of your disciples who imbibe these principles all the time, they've been helping me to see things. And I was thinking how the first principle where you say we should treat everyone like Guru and Krishna, I don't do that. But today, one devotee asked me to do something for her, and I was so adamant about not doing it. And she says, you know, if I was your Guru Maharaj, or if I was Rajalila, you would do this, but you won't do it for me. So then that made me think of how I'm not acting in that way, and to help to remind me to do that, because this devotee was so kind. And then you say that we should see everything as our fault. And then one devotee pulled me aside earlier today and told me how that she was having this realization that she felt responsible for other devotees' shortcomings, and that if a devotee wasn't able to make it down a morning program or something happened, and that she was in the room with that devotee, that she would take that as her fault and her responsibility that that devotee didn't do it, and that she should do it for that. She should take that responsibility to help that devotee to get up, to help check that, you know, bring that devotee to the right consciousness. So she was taking that responsibility, and it helped me to remember that I'm not doing it, but she was. And that helped me to remember how I should do that. And then you said that we should see the devotees that we live with as we're going to leave our bodies with. And then there was one devotee who I struggled with having a relationship with for a long time, and we had so much tension. But then that devotee had come to a realization that we were together and we had no choice but to make our relationship work and to come together and work together in your service. So she made the endeavor that despite all of our arguments and different things like that, to make the endeavor that no matter what, she was going to somehow be a god sister to me and a friend, and that we were going to make this relationship work no matter what. And then through everything that we struggled through, somehow that happened by her mercy. And then you say that we should treat the devotees as the person that we love the most. And then there was another devotee that I had an experience with, which I was kind of getting like short with and losing kind of in my mind, just becoming like kind of impatient with and frustrated with. And I was thinking that if this was someone that I'd seen as my best friend or someone that I really loved and really cared about, that I wouldn't make that person, I wouldn't just leave that person, and I wouldn't disregard them and just go on with my own program and become impatient and frustrated just because they're not moving as quickly as I would have liked them to. So what it helped me is actually seeing how much I'm not imbibing any of those qualities, and I'm not doing anything that you said about the principles. And for my qualities, I feel like I should just give you my name back, because I have the I have it on my wall, and I couldn't even remember the principles. But I put it in the file cabinet, and I was thinking that I wish that some way I could just remember them somehow in my interactions with the devotees, and I couldn't do it. But then you sent four devotees to show me how they imbibe each one of those principles in their lives, and that helped me to see how I'm not doing it and how I need to. And that just happened between yesterday and today. And then we came to this meeting and you spoke about the four principles to help to so mercifully remind us when we're not doing those things, so that we can, not by any of my means, but to come to that standard. So I just wanted to thank you so much for that, and all of the devotees for helping to remind me of what I'm not doing. Thank you.
A few more. I don't want to keep you too late. Mm-hmm. Is the mic here? Is the one up in front?
I have one here.
Okay.
Srila Prabhupada, it's a lot that I have to talk about based on what I'm not doing. And I guess I'll have to meet with you to talk about that. But the only thing I focus on the four, those four technologies is the part about dying with devotees. When I started, at first I heard it, I never really focused on them. I couldn't remember them. But all of a sudden, the one about death started sticking in my mind. So at first, I didn't like the idea about that, because a lot of doubts started coming into my mind when it came to dying with people that, you know, most people I didn't feel connected to. Doubts started coming in, not in a big way, it was slipping in very small, in a small way, about, you know, about the philosophy, about you. But I know it was also because my chanting was really the poorest I've ever seen in this last couple of years. But then, after I started studying some things about 2YK, and because I see the dangers that are coming now, I notice when I go in certain places, like sometimes I go to the work out, sometimes I'm on the bus, I'm on my job, and suddenly I'm thinking, Lord, don't let me die with these people, you know, because. And all of a sudden, I want to die among the devotees. I know they will help me to remember Krishna. They know how to help you to pass from this body. And those people out there, you know, I mean, I'm just beginning to see I'm in darkness. And
so we can think of, you know, the devotees were not morbid. We would see death as a chance to graduate. So you want to graduate with the devotees. You want to accelerate with the devotees. Not sometimes people would wonder why Srila Prabhupada talks about you not the body all the time and are preparing for the time of death. It's not that we are morbid people, it's the opposite. Because you realize that what people consider life is just sense gratification. Extensive sense gratification. We want the highest, and the highest means death to sin, to ignorance, to maya, to illusion, and birth to the higher realities. But of course, as we, as you're saying, the environment is going to affect what our conscience is going to be when we leave this body. Just a few others and then we stop. Vajrita, see how Jagannath Dasi is. She's okay? Yeah, check on her.
I guess I've been noticing so much lately how ungrateful I am to you and to Krishna, because I was living in such a hell situation before, and then I moved into the temple and had like such wonderful association with so many senior devotees, and I took it for granted. And I noticed that I started becoming so offensive in the last couple of months, and in my mind I was just thinking so many offensive thoughts, and I didn't want their association, and I was growing impatient. And then lately, as I like became more attentive with my rounds and started like appreciating devotee association so much more, I started realizing how offensive I was being. And now I'm trying to take time out every day and have some nice association with the Matajis in the ashram, and look at myself and see that what was disturbing me about those people is actually what probably disturbs people about me. that, you know, how selfish I am and how ungrateful I am and how inattentive I am, or I don't know, noisy or not clean enough or whatever the case may be. So I don't know, I guess I wanted to thank the devotees in general. I mean, all my God brothers and God sisters for helping me to become aware of my downfalls.
Since I've been here, I've been realizing how much of a fault finder I am. And it's like automatic, as soon as I can just see exactly what somebody's doing wrong. And what I've been doing is turning that around on myself. And when I see somebody, or what I think somebody's doing something wrong, I turn it around and say, oh, do I do that? And I do. So it's helped me a lot to just to help myself to grow and to look and see what's wrong with me. And also, like with Devaki, for example, I used to have like a hard time in the beginning kind of disciplining, oh, I still do, but disciplining the boys around her. And what I used to do to kind of help myself was be like to send her away sometimes, because they get, you know, like kids get a little more rowdy around each other. And then I realized that I was making her feel bad. And then I realized that I need to learn not only to develop a nicer relationship with my own children, but with other children also, and not to feel like, oh, just because I have four kids, I can't help anybody else, I can't do anything else like that.
You been there?
At my base, and so I'll go to Srila Prabhupada. I'd first like to say the things that I'm doing in preparation for Y2K. The first thing I'm doing is to think, don't panic. That's my first, because, and I know that that comes through focusing on yourself and Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and the teachings that you've given us so far. Yeah, I've stored a few cans of things, some water, things like that, but if a catastrophe goes down and I am locked in the city, my goal is to try to get to Giranagari if I'm not already here by that time. But in my mind's eye, I have seen things, and I'm focusing now on listening to the messages that I receive internally and expressing them to other devotees to help me through them, or to yourself, or in word. I struggle daily with all four of these procedures that you've given, but in my struggles, I've consciously and internally decided that I will never give up trying to get there. And the only way that I will do that is by your order, by your word. And that is the only way. I've not perfected any one of them, but, you know, my struggle continues. You know, I've thought of several ways that I could improve spiritually and improve my association with devotees. But over the last few months or years, I've realized that the association of devotees is very, very important to spiritual life. You said it many, many times. And I've heard it, but I didn't internalize it. And I realize how important it is, because when I'm not around devotees, at this point, I miss them. I miss the association. I think about them. I think about, you know, what they do. Even if I'm having a problem with a particular devotee, that problem comes into my mind and it actually helps me realize more about Krishna consciousness. And I didn't realize it before when it was somebody getting on my nerves. You know, I would just think, oh, they're getting on my nerves. But even that little bit reminds me of the name of the person and who they are and what they're associated with and this entire community. And, you know, so I have to be thankful for the problems and the, you know, the love and friendships and things too. So I look at it all as a part of Krishna, as you have said before. And I thank you for your guidance and protection. And Hare Krishna.
Madam.
Hare Bhama Raj. In terms of utilizing the four principles, I kind of related back to instruction that you gave me in the summer about loving and being a deep lover. And And actually, you know, so I kind of relate the four principles into being more loving to devotees. And as a result, I try to use as a meditation that every interaction that I have with devotees, I should be in some way, I should be expressing love. I should be loving them. I should be giving love. And, you know, I'm not always successful, as Mother Drani can testify to. But, you know, even if I am overcome by passion or whatever, I will go back and reflect, you know, well, you know, what's the best way that I can give love to this devotee? And then try to go about, you know, acting that way and responding in that way. You know, I used to meditate a lot on trying to love Krishna, but then I realized that that's really not possible unless one pleases Krishna through really seeing him and his devotees and then everyone and loving everyone. And in that way, maybe, you know, I can hope one day to love Krishna. So, you know, in every interaction, I try to think, you know, and that, you know, loving takes on different forms in different peoples depending on, you know, what the interaction is about and, you know, what's going on. But always having that as my motivation, always giving love, sharing love, showing love for someone. And I try to do that.
Maybe two more. Ms. Anisha?
Hi, Bo. I realize that in order to do, I just have this realization strongly this weekend that in order to see each devotee as essential to my spiritual life, their well-being as being essential to my spiritual life, and to love them as much as my beloved, I have to associate more with devotees. And so this weekend has been really wonderful for me because it's been a long time since I've been here for, it's just been a long time since I've been here, and the devotees here have been wonderful, and they're such examples with their behavior, their words, their actions. It's just been really wonderful. So that's one of the things I'm working on. The other is that I'm trying to let go of my material attachments because my material attachments have been an obstacle for me in forming loving relationships. And one of the things has to do around this house, and I'm making progress on that. And also with my husband, who's also a devotee. So what I tend to do is blame my husband for things. And so I've been trying to see it as my fault. So I don't, I think I'm better in terms of my actions and verbally, although sometimes I make faces. And I, you know, I show my, I mean, I'm not really there. Because sometimes he might say something and I'll fault find in my mind and I'll make a face. And then he'll like know that that's my consciousness. But I'm really working on that. And my husband is being so sweet because every morning now, because I'm having a lot of difficulties at work, and I'm trying to follow the principle where if I can't raise consciousness there, I have to leave. So in order to help me raise my consciousness, we spend time together, my husband and I. We meditate on the Maha Mantra, or we connect every morning, and that's really helping me a lot.
I want to thank you for such four wonderful concepts. I remember Thanksgiving weekend when I took these concepts home and had a chance to meditate on them. It was so very important in looking at when we have so many faults that, you know, in our day-to-day activities, when the phone rings or, you know, someone asks us to do some service in some way, that if there is any type of animosity or any resentments or fears that come up, you can see that within yourself, you know, by focusing on that, that we're the problem, you know, and how we can, you know, keep in our prayers, you know, if we pray vehemently to have these faults removed, you know, and one thing I've been doing is putting them down, sometimes not on paper, but just in my mind, on my altar, secondly, you know, loving devotees, it's when coming to a festival here, it's so amazing how Krishna just puts wonderful, useful devotees, you know, to associate with. And also your book, the meditation on Ask a Child. Mm-hmm. What a child, you know, what a child needs, mm-hmm. what a child thinks, and how this child feels. I had a lot of realizations last night, you know, about positioning ourselves in order to be able to render that empathy and that compassion and that love. Since I last spoke in January the 3rd, my application for New Vrindavan was approved, and I'm moving to New Vrindavan on Sunday. Sunday and next Thursday, I'll be moving. And only by your mercy, you know, was this possible in my prayers. And every step that I will be making, speaking with Madhavacharya and many of the devotees today, it's going to be a time for renewal for myself, to get a strong foundation in sadhana, and also to gather information for Gita Nagari, because my every step is in order to position myself here, so that together as a community we can assist these children more and more and more. And also, these are the devotees I want to leave my body with.
Okay, Anasuya? Are we, I don't know if my watch is right. I want to stop at 8:30. What time is it now? Where is it? 25? Okay.
Maharaj, I was just realizing this evening when I was talking to Nanda Rupa, when I first became a devotee five years ago, and I was just thinking about what we went through, me and my husband, you know, all the, we went through a lot of material changes, and I was just wondering how you have guided us into what to do, how to do, where to move, stuff like that. And I've also realized that just coming back from Florida, how I actually missed being with devotees, because although we live about 10 minutes or so away from the farm, but it's like every day I would sit and, you know, think, you know, I wonder what's going on down the farm, what's, you know, it's just, I miss the sweetness. It's very sweet. And I was just thinking this morning that in order for me to actually apply those four principles, is actually to know each devotee. It's hard to just love them and trust them when you don't know them for who they are. And I've been trying in the past, actually when I got back from Florida, I got back my service of doing the Didi's scheduling again. And that has helped me to again get back on the ball in terms of trying to get in touch with devotees and the pujaris and know where they're at, and kind of be more sensitive to what they're going through and their lives and their space and stuff like that. And that has helped me to appreciate them more, and to know that they too have feelings and they too have lives. And that's how we build the trust, is to take time and sit down and just talk to a devotee. And But I wanted just to also say that that personally, there is no better place than Gita Nagari. It's just extremely, extremely sweet, and just very, very wonderful.
Okay, I just thank you for giving so much so we can survive. And I'll just stay with the four principles. I remember I was here when you first gave them to us. And the one that choked me the most that night was the ones you're with are the ones you'll die with. Because my mind came right in and said, you know, if I die here, what'll be on the paper? I don't know, I asked you some question. You answered me very nicely. Haven't we taken care of that? But I passed through that. I really am feeling more. But in going through them, I remind the devotees of them a lot when things are going on, but it helps me remember. The one I had the greatest problem with was, if there's a problem, it's my fault. And I found I had to work with that. And what my realization from that was, when there was a problem, what I did, I sat down and wrote a letter to the particular devotee. And after I got through saying, and you said, and I felt, and you said, and I felt, the realization came to me, it is your fault because you're not loving enough. You're not compassionate enough. Because if you were, that devotee might not portray that behavior. And if they did, I wouldn't have felt the pain that I felt. So out of those letters, I haven't mailed any. It became not necessary to send it out. It became necessary for me to work more on myself. And your book, Spiritual Warrior, has been so helpful. The chapter on practicing compassion, I read that over and again because it is a manual. And the chapter on what is love. So it's taken, as I say, I thank you for giving so much. And I'm endeavoring to use it because, I don't know, talk about young people and old people, and of course we can go at any moment, but I feel closer to I can go any moment because of being an older body, and I do want to be as prepared as possible. So those principles are just the medicine, as you say, that we need. And I keep reminding, I remember one devotee I shared it with, she wanted me to talk to somebody about something. And after we went over it, she says, thank you, you know, I've got to look at this differently. And I think somehow the situation worked out. So if we take it and use it, we can develop the kind of community that you want. And I just want to share something is happening to me because I handed my cane to Shalagram the other night and I haven't used it since. And I came out in the yard and actually walked in the yard without a cane since I came back from India. And I'm feeling so alive and vital. I must be getting ready to go, I hope.
The other day, you were dancing, I thought you were ready to take an exit.
Did you see Chinchamani holding me down? And Bali said, let her go.
So I think the Leela, and then we should stop. Leela, what's up?
I hesitate to talk about these things because they're very personal. So, to me, these principles are my life and soul, and so I attempt to apply them every moment of my life. I'm really clear when I'm right-minded about these principles, and I'm also very clear when I'm wrong-minded about them. Because when I make a mistake and see anyone, not just a devotee, but anyone, as the body, I suffer. And I'm really clear about that suffering, and it's intolerable. So, in my daily life, I want a holy relationship with everybody I meet. And that's my intent. And when I'm clear about that, I feel very uplifted. And and I'm very clear about that. When I see a person outside of that context, it hurts me, and I know it hurts the other person. I don't want that. I don't want that in my life anymore. So one of the things that I gained from this principle and also from Srila Krishnapada is this relentless desire to be free from the suffering that I cause myself and others. So I apply these principles. I also noticed in applying these principles with people that I also have relationships with the planet. I have relationships in my mind with who I consider dark forces. And I'm recognizing that I have to apply those principles to these things as well. How I think of people who are unrighteous or doing unrighteous things, that I have to see them as spirit souls as well. I have a relationship with rush hour traffic in Washington, D.C., and how do I relate to that in a loving and conscious manner without getting involved in suffering about that? So I find in every one of the perceptions that I entertain at every moment, I can be right-minded about it or I can be wrong-minded about it. And it's intolerable for me now to suffer any extended period of time by holding a grievance or a criticism about any relationship or concept that leads to suffering.
That's very nice. So in conclusion, so the idea is that we're trying to create a difference individually, a difference in the environment. And it happens by literally taking Prabhupada's books more serious. We're giving you these four things as ways to tune in to making a serious conscious shift. But it always was and always will be about changing the lust into love. The love is the means and it's the end. And so much of accessing love has to do with knowledge, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, and literally being able to see Krishna everywhere in all things. And as we begin to focus in that way, then Krishna comes out at us similarly. As we see each person, as we see each person as an aspect of the Godhead, as we are part and parcels, to that degree, we become more aware of Krishna's pervasiveness. As we capture the moments of trying to see how each thing we say, do, think is an offering to the Lord, then we constantly want to offer with greater quality. And our reciprocation would be similar. And as we begin to do this, it's no longer an exercise, but it's the way that we think, then we are rising above the modes. So hopefully some of you who didn't speak had a chance to reflect in your own lives, things you need to work on. And hopefully as you heard some of those who did speak, it helped you to relate to something similar in your own lives. Or they help you to get embarrassed to see that you need to work more on yourself. So we want to focus more on developing the proper consciousness. Everything facilitates that. Your service, your groupings, association, wherever you are, whatever project you're in, should all facilitate it. Then we can do what Prabhupada has asked. As he's talked about developing the hospital for the heart. It's no accident that people are having more heart disease because their hearts are so broken. But when the heart is strong, I explained in the Mayapur presentation this year that of all the verses, Bhagavatam, Gita, Chaitanya-mrita, of all the lectures, conversations Prabhupada has given us, that he quotes verse 15:15 more than any other verse. Sarvastraham sannivisto matakshmitya jnanam bonam cha. About being Krishna, being in the heart. There's no accident about that. So Krishna is in the heart. That is one of the most important organs. He's letting us know that this is what he wants. He's waiting for us to return and give our hearts back as he gives himself fully. All of the things are there, but if we don't give the heart,
haven't made the real connection. So we're just trying to train you up how to more genuinely come from the heart. It's difficult because we've had so many patterns in the past, in many lifetimes, with the same this lifetime. But this is what Krishna wants, because this is how he gives himself fully. And that's why we give the last technology, that whatever goes on, if the devotees have given their hearts, they just leave and go back to the spiritual kingdom. Good times, bad times, whatever may happen. And that should be our position. That what we're doing is what we're becoming. We're ready just to do that eternally, give our hearts to Krishna. But it starts with how you give your hearts to each other. It's confounded, child, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, to the Prabhupada ki. Yeah.